Y'all can sit down. I'm going to stand up here, pray, get myself straight. Or at least attempt to. How about now? I had myself on mute. Sorry about that. Beginning of the year, for whatever reason, and if y'all don't know me, I like to fidget with stuff. 1 year for Christmas, I'm pretty sure somebody got me a fidget spinner. Another person got me like this little fidget cube. It has a bunch of different little things on it that you can press, you can spin, you can move, whatever. So one day I was at I worked for BB&T, and I was at a different branch than I normally am. And I saw, for whatever reason, it caught my eye. It's an Eisenhower dollar piece. And I was like, that's cool. I want that. So I took a dollar out of my account, had my coworker give me the coin piece. I held on to it. I would take it with me pretty much everywhere. And I would just fidget with it. It got to a point where I kept looking at it. I'm like, man, this would be perfect for heads or tails. So that's what we're going to do this morning, at least for right now. We're going to play heads or tails. Y'all don't really get to decide what this, you know, the options are. Sorry. Because clearly I already have all this written down. So, heads or tails? Heads, I kind of face more open. Tails, I face the pastors. Heads. Sorry, guys. I love you. Heads or tails? Continue to stand up here talking, or I say, I'll finish my sermon later in October when I'm here again. At least I think it's October. Somebody tell me what it is. Tails. Oh, wow. Tails? Really? Oh, man. Catch. We practice this, man. Like, literally, I threw a coin at him. We throw a lot of stuff at each other. I wanted you to hold on to it. Look at the coin, old man. Tell everybody what's on both sides of the coin. Heads on both sides. There's no chance in God. God already knows what's going to happen. It's already set in stone. We can't really do a whole lot to do anything about it. There's no being lucky. There's no chance. We just kind of have to let God do what he's going to do. I think about life the past, almost 10 years. And I think about it, and it's like, it's just so much has happened, you know. From us moving from where we were renting to this place where we own it, where this is home, where I have built better relationships with a good portion of the people in here. I picked up pick with my lowest more often than I think I ever have now at this point. I also blame my dad for that one. Even to the point where I think about my direct family and how, I don't know if it was a year or two beforehand, but like, Shishi retired at like the perfect time because it was God's time. And for those who don't know, the events that led up after she retired, she was able to be there for my father. She was able to be there for my cousin. I don't know how many times this lady has sat in doctor's offices and all this other stuff that she, you know, not necessarily everybody is strong enough to do, especially when we're talking about their family. I know me personally, at the time, I definitely wasn't strong enough to do what she did. I thank God that there is no chance in him. I thank God that there is no being lucky. There's no none of that weird nonsense. I thank God for that. So essentially, that was the first part of my sermon, and that's called Heads Or. And I called it Heads Or because it's like, we tend to think that we have, that there is two sides to the coin. There's only one, and that's God. But it also kind of leads into the next part, which I called How to Quit. Bear with me. I know that sounds strange, but bear with me. We're going to go to Daniel 6, and starting at the first verse. Give y'all a few moments to get there. If not, we have a lovely screen up there that my buddy Janice has already got put up. Darius the Mede decided to divide the kingdom into 120 provinces, and he appointed a high officer to rule over each province. The king also chose Daniel and two others as administrators to supervise the high officers and protect the king's interests. Daniel soon proved himself more capable than the other administrators and high officers. Because of Daniel's great ability, the king made plans to place him over the entire empire. Then the other administrators and high officers began searching for some fault in the way Daniel was handling government affairs, but they couldn't find anything to criticize or condemn. He was faithful, always responsible, and completely trustworthy. So they concluded, our only chance of finding grounds for accusing Daniel will be in connection with the rules of his religion. So the administrators and high officers went to the king and said, long live King Darius. We are all in agreement, we administrators, officials, high officers, advisors, and governors, that the king should make a law that will be strictly enforced. Give orders for that the next 30 days, any person who prays to anyone, divine or human, except to you, your majesty, will be thrown into the den of lions. Now, Your Majesty, issue and sign this law so it cannot be changed. An official law of the Medes and Persians that cannot be revoked. So King Darius signed the law. But when Daniel learned that the law had been signed, he went home, knelt down as usual in his upstairs room with its windows open towards Jerusalem. He prayed three times a day, just as he had always done, giving thanks to his God. Then the officials went together to Daniel's house and found him praying and asking God for God's help. So they went straight to the king and reminded him of his law. Did you not sign the law? It says for the next 30 days, no person to praise to anyone, divine or human, except to you. The king says yes. That decision stands. It is an official law of the Medes and Persians that cannot be revoked. Then they told the king, "That man Daniel, one of the captives from Judah, is ignoring you and your law. He still prays to his God 3 times a day. Hearing this, the king was deeply troubled. He tried to think of a way to save Daniel. He spent the rest of the day looking for a way out of to get Daniel out of this predicament. In the evening, the men went together to the king and said, "Your Majesty, you know that according to the law, no law that the king signs can be changed." So at last the king gave the orders for Daniel to be arrested and thrown in the lion's den. I'll spare you more of the details and just say, Daniel was thrown in the lion's den. He disobeyed the law. He accepted that punishment. What these dummies didn't know is that he had our God on his side. And all Daniel did was just continue to pray and trust in God. Daniel had every right to be scared out of his mind and just be like, you know what? Forget this. I'm just going to get eaten. Stone was rolled away the next morning. Who's there but Daniel sitting there with the lions, not a scratch on him. I'm not going to go make y'all go to it, but pretty much Exodus 5 through 13, chapter 5 through chapter 13 kind of details, you know, Moses and him trying to get the people out of Egypt, you know, the plagues, all that stuff. And Moses had already gone through so much stuff that he could have quit. I don't think God let him. I think God was like, no, I'm going to keep pushing you, and I'm going to keep pushing you until you're just going to do what I do, what I tell you to do. So eventually get to the point where he's like, okay, that's fine. I submit to you, as we all should, and he did what God told him to do. Pharaoh, though, was a very interesting person. He fought back any chance he got until he was like, I can't do this anymore. He was broken down so bad that he said, take your people and leave. At any point in time, Moses could have been like, nah, I accept what the Pharaoh said. I accept what the Pharaoh said. My people are just going to have to stay here in Egypt. Not so. He couldn't quit. Not just for himself, not just to redeem himself, but he couldn't quit for his people. Going into Matthew 14, and essentially I'm about to just paraphrase verses 1 through 10. King Herod found out about Jesus. Jesus made him nervous. I'll put it that way. Jesus made him nervous because he reminded him of one man. And I think verse 2 says, He said to his advisors, "This must be John the Baptist raised from the dead. That is why he can do such miracles." Little did Herod know that John the Baptist was the least of his problems. But he kept hearing about Jesus. He was like, man, maybe if I could do something with John the Baptist, maybe if I could get rid of him. But he was like, man, I can't do that. People love him so much. If I did anything to him, riots everywhere. But he got his chance. He had a party. Party was for his wife's daughter. He ended up telling his wife's daughter that, I will give you anything you want. You name it. Doesn't matter what it is. You name it. I got you. She goes back to her mother and tells her this. And she says, ask for John the Baptist's head on a platter. wish granted. John the Baptist's head on a platter. Mind you, John the Baptist was also telling Herod that it wasn't right for him to marry his wife because she was the former wife of his brother. Of course, Herod didn't like that. That's part of the reason why he wanted to get rid of him anyway. But John the Baptist did what he was supposed to do. John the Baptist did what was hard. John the Baptist did not quit because his life was threatened. Man was already in jail when they cut his head off. You know, the only thing else you really can do to him is kill him. You know, you could torture him, stuff like that. But really, the only thing that else you could have done to him was kill him. But even in death, John the Baptist didn't quit. He knew that there were people out there that needed to be saved. He knew that he had a mentality of, if I don't do it, who will? Until Jesus comes. And once Jesus came, he still was doing what he was supposed to do. We got Jesus in us all the time. Why do we quit? Because things get hard, because we don't want to do it, because we want to do whatever we want to do. Why do we quit doing what God tells us to do? The name of this section is How to Quit, and the answer is you don't. As hard as it is, you just don't. It's not by chance that anybody's here. Most of you have not quit. It's not by chance that she retired when she did. She wasn't allowed to quit. Even when things got hard. She watched her brother go through so much. She watched her nephew go through so much. And then on top of that, she watched the family go through that stuff with them. Couldn't quit. Even when we wanted to. Even when it was hard. I don't talk about Anthony a whole lot. Because I get like this. It's gotten a lot easier over the years, of course, but for those who don't know, Anthony was my best friend. He was not only my best friend and my cousin, he was my brother. He was the person that I grew up essentially looking up to, and it was the hardest thing to see him and watch him go through all that. The day he passed away was probably, I know it was more difficult for more other people, but it hit me different until I had a conversation with my godmother, Ashishi. And essentially she told me that she had conversations with him and was like, it's okay. He was okay with what was going on. He was okay with what was happening. Anthony didn't quit. And I know other people have gone through this, but I can only speak for, well, I can't really speak for him, but I can attest that there's one other person in this room that knows how difficult everything that he went through. That's my father, and because he went through something similar. My dad didn't quit, even when it was hard. Even the man never even stopped working throughout all the stuff that he went through. At some point, you just have to say to yourself, I can't quit. I can't give up. I can't not do what I'm supposed to do. I can't not do what God has for me to do. Even when it's hard, even when you feel broken, even when you feel like nothing can fix anything. You just got to remember that God is there for you. He's always going to be there for you. If things happen in your life, it's not by chance. Sometimes we help things along that maybe not should have quite happened the way it did, but even God knew that was going to happen. We are a difficult species. And it would be easy for God to be like, yep, I'll just make everybody just do what I want, what I want them to do. But God gave us the ability to choose. I admonish you, choose not to quit. It's not only what's best for you, but it's also what's best for the people around you and the people that you love. I'm gonna stop now. If anyone